Welcome to the Victory of the Lamb podcast. We are a simple, straightforward Bible teaching church in Katy, Texas. If you are in the area, we'd love for you to stop by anytime. Otherwise, we hope you use this podcast to grow in your faith and be confident in sharing it with many. You can find us online at votl.org. We hope you enjoy this message, and God bless your week. God's grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance today as you consider the answer to the all-important question at Christmas time. What child is this? They really were perfect strangers, weren't they? First, there's the powerful holy angel named Gabriel. His name means valiant one of God. He is an angel, which is a messenger. And when his heavenly father dispatched him on this errand from heaven, he did not whine like a little kid being told to clean his messy room or clear the table, and he didn't really want to do it. He did not say, "Can't one of these other angels visit that poor maiden down there in Nazareth? Can't you just send one of the pastors or priests from the area? Why do I always have to do stuff like this?" If Gabriel had tried to describe where he had just come from, the holy heights of heaven, to Mary or anyone else, they would never have been able to even endure it. The presence of God is so brilliant. And yet, someone so high, visiting someone so low, at least by earthly standards, did not think this job was beneath him. I'll bet his eyes even lit up at the chance to be an errand boy for God and deliver one message to a lowly maiden in a dinky, dusty town. Then, there's the other half of the perfect stranger conversation, the young, poor maiden named Mary. For her people, the Jews, they were all downtrodden, weren't they? Bitterness and poverty were commonplace, and Mary was really on the bottom rung of Jewish society. She was so unnoticeable and so ordinary. She didn't really have any enemies, and she also didn't have anybody banging down her door and asking her for her autograph. Perhaps she was even sweeping the floor, or carrying water, or gathering wood for the fire, or doing some other mundane, usual servant girl chores when Gabriel suddenly arrived at her home. And yet, this conversation happened, didn't it? There they were, someone so lofty talking to someone so lowly. Perfect strangers. And yet, in spite of someone so high visiting someone so low, the angel Gabriel came not to taunt or to belittle or to boss Mary around or shove her aside into the corner, but instead to serve her. Marvel at what the angel said. We begin in Luke chapter 1, the 26th verse. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. The angel's words were full of astonishing irony. Just think about how the world thought of Mary as compared to how God thought of Mary. The angel said, Mary, nobody in this village seems to notice you a whole lot, but God has noticed you and calls you highly favored. Mary, you are such a lowly maiden, but your child Jesus will be the Son of the Most High. Mary, I know you've never dreamed one second of being royalty or living that way, but your son will be a king whose kingdom doesn't just last as long as he is alive on earth, but his kingdom has no end. And if Mary had done anything except listen to those words with a soft heart, consider what kind of pushback she could have given in return. She might have said, but the law gives the death penalty to those who commit adultery. They're going to stone me. Or what is Joseph going to think? He won't believe me. And our great relationship will be ruined. He won't want to marry me anymore. Or what about my reputation? No one will ever believe that I did not have sex before I was married. Or she simply could have said, I'm going to have a baby, and he will be a king, and his kingdom will have no end. Me? Little me? This is all so crazy. It doesn't make any sense. I just can't believe it. And by the way, I didn't sign up for this, and I want to have my family when I want to on my terms. So the answer is no. Mary could have said all that, but did not. Would you have been any different? Would you have given God pushback if he sent the angel Gabriel on such a mission to tell you something like this? The cold, hard truth is that there's every single one of us that has a sinful rebel beating inside, rejecting what God is to say, giving pushback and reasons why he is wrong and we are right. Our sinful rebel inside has as its starting point that we are sturdy and that God is erratic and crazy, that we, humans, are wise with all the facts, and God is the one bursting in all out of control with his wild ideas. We are the ones who can always be trusted, and God is the one who can never be trusted. When your sinful nature drives, terrible results follow. You might, if your sinful nature was driving, have been quick to raise your hand and tell God, now wait just a minute here. You did not consult with me about any of this. I'm going to start my family on my terms only. You, with your sinful nature in charge, might have ticked off one reason after the next why God should clearly know that this plan will never work at all. Your sinful nature would sell the Lord short. You'd quietly think, this is all so ridiculous. I can't make my virgin self have a baby. I can't cause someone of servant status to become royalty with their child. That means God can't do any of this either. But pull back for a second and think about this. As you examine the way your sinful nature reacts to God's holy truth, what has God ever done to make you doubt him? What have you ever done to prove that you are more trustworthy than God himself? Why do you assume that you are sturdy and he is the one who is erratic and all over the place. Do not doubt his word. Do not give him pushback as though you know better. Do not let your sinful nature drive your mind. Instead, listen to what God says with a soft heart. It certainly is astonishing as we ask the question, what child is this, that we see Jesus there in the manger and realize he came anyways. He came in spite of all the sinful rebellion in the world, in spite of all the sinful rebellion within my own heart. Jesus came because he is brimming over with compassion and not because we are brimming over with trust. Just look at all the miracles God did in order to cause his love to go into action for you. The first miracle is that the Son of the Most High God would be both 100% God and also 100% man inside Mary's womb. The second miracle is that a young lady who had zero sexual relations became pregnant with a baby. That's never happened before or since. And finally, the third miracle is that a sinful person like Mary actually believed what the angel said. Yes, that is a miracle. Sinners cannot create their own faith. They cannot conjure up what they need in order to believe what God says in his word. Sinful people like us need God to create faith for us using his powerful word and sacraments. Martin Luther said, "Do not ever think that the third of these three miracles is the least of the three." The fact that Mary fully accepted the angel's word is just as much of a miracle as the God-man coming from heaven to Mary's womb and the virgin being with child. It's true, dear Christian, the Holy Spirit has given you the miracle of faith. God's word is so powerful, it can even cause an arrogant, sinful rebel to trust quietly. Notice that most of what the angel said to Mary also applies to you and me. You also are highly favored by God. Here's why. You've been chosen by him to be a recipient of his compassion. The Lord is with you, not against you. You need not be afraid because you have such favor with God. Jesus is still great as ever. He is and will always be the Son of the Most High. He will reign forever. His kingdom will never end, and he will reign on your behalf. No word of God will ever fail, for nothing is impossible for God. How astonishing that almost everything that Gabriel said to Mary in this wonderful conversation also applies to us. Pretty much everything except the part that she's going to have a baby named Jesus. Dial into that last part for a second. No word of God will ever fail. Nothing is impossible for God. So when the Lord announces, "I work good out of all things," your reason might scream, "Yeah, except all this 2020 misery that's now even worse during the holidays." But your faith says, God can work good out of 2020 and everything else in his time and in his way. No word of God can ever fail. And when the Lord announces to you, "I will never allow your burdens to be more than you can handle, and I will always provide a way out," your reason might shout, "Well, in my not so humble opinion, Lord, you did already give me more than I can handle, and I don't see any way out." But your faith will say, "I have found favor with God. He is the Son of the Most High. He will lead me through this. It could be worse. I trust him. No word of God can ever fail." And when the Lord announces to you, "I have come to save you," your pride might punch back with, "Why, God, you think I need it or something? But our faith says, wow, you saved a sinner like me? Thanks. No word of God can ever fail. Martin Luther said, there is such richness and goodness in this nativity that if we should see it and deeply understand, we will be dissolved in perpetual joy. Dear Christian, would you like to be dissolved in perpetual joy? Then simply listen to God's word with a soft heart. You will always be infused with joy and confident against every attack. No matter what comes up, you'll approach it by saying, no word of God can ever fail. You'll say along with Mary, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Enjoy this Christmas season and beyond as the Lord's servant, trusting in his word that never fails, trusting that nothing is ever impossible for him, and dissolved in perpetual joy. As you ask the question, what child is this? Amen.
Time is precious. Thank you so much for investing some of your time with us today. Could I ask you for one more favor? If you're enjoying this podcast, please don't forget to click subscribe and give us a rating. Just a few seconds of your time will help other people hear the simple, straightforward Bible message we offer. Thank you so much. God bless your day in Christ.